رادیو اینترنتی دانشگاه مفید،
برنامه 254، عنوان نشست: جایگاه اخلاق در اقتصاد. ارائه کننده: پروفسور جورج اندلز، عضو هیئت علمی دانشگاه نوتردام در ایندیانا آمریکا.
Yesterday we talked about the framework, how to understand business ethics, and this is a framework which helps us to identify important questions, not so much to give answers directly, but to identify questions. And since business ethics in a global context is a very complex issue, it is necessary, I think, to have a clear framework. Of course, I was asked, how do we develop such a framework? I think this is a long process. It is not just to have some ideas, but to have a first attempt to check, can that be empirically, can we have some empirical evidence which supports that? How does that, what does that mean for theory? And so it is a process, a process which has to be refined all the time and questioned. But my experience is that this framework has worked quite well when using it either in different countries or internationally for international comparisons.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. دیروز در ارتباط با تهیه یک چارچوبی برای بررسی اخلاق در امور اقتصادی و بازرگانی صحبت کردیم و سوال مطرح بود که چگونه به این چارچوب میرسیم. در ارتباط با تهیه و رسیدن به این چارچوب فرایند طولانی وجود داره، اما به نظر من این چارچوب به ما کمک میکنه تا اینکه بتونیم مسائل مهم رو در اخلاق در امور بازرگانی بین‌المللی یا اقتصاد بین‌المللی خوب بفهمیم.
Now I would like to, and yesterday we also talked about trust, confidence in business, particularly in financial reporting. And I gave this example from the America to illustrate how ethical behavior at the micro, meso, and macro level is important in order to have trust in business.
دیروز همچنین در ارتباط با اعتماد در اقتصاد یا بازرگانی رو مخصوصا در گزارشات مالی رو مطرح کردیم و موردی رو در این ارتباط در مورد ایالات متحده مطرح کردیم.
I also said that business ethics as a kind of applied ethics should walk on two legs, which means to understand the problem from a descriptive normative point of view and second to analyze it from a normative ethical point of view.
همچنین به این مسئله پرداختیم که اخلاق در امور اقتصادی یک بحث کاربردی هستش و گفتیم که به این مسئله بایستی از دو جنبه نگاه کنیم، یکی جنبه هنجاری و توصیفی و دیگری از جنبه جنبه دوم هم از دیدگاه اخلاقی هست.
و this morning in the first part of our session I would like to illustrate this approach with the help of three case studies.
امروز می‌خوایم این موضوع رو، این مسئله رو بیشتر روشن کنیم با کمک سه تا مطالعه موردی.
These are the three cases which are in our course packet.
اینها سه تا موردی هستن که توی چیز کورسمون هستش توی مجموعه
in the first part. First I give you general diagram to how to explain how to approach those cases in general.
در ارتباط یه طرح کلی رو ارائه میدم که چگونه به این موارد به این مطالعات نگاه کنیم و اونها رو مورد بررسی قرار بدیم.
This looks very complicated, but it's not so complicated. When we take a case, the first question is, well, what is the problem here? And these are problems in practice, in business, in economics. How do we identify the problem? So we look at the practice, and then we try to analyze it from an ethical point of view, from an economic, from a sociological, from a different point of view. So we need theoretical input.
وقتی که به یک موردی یه موردی رو می‌خوایم بررسی کنیم، اول باید بدونیم که مشکل چی هستش. بعد در توصیف این مسائل این رو از یک نقطه نظر اخلاقی و همچنین از نقطه نظر اقتصادی، جامعه شناسی و موارد دیگه باید مورد بررسی قرار بدیم.
And then at the end we ask what is the problem, how to analyze the problem, what action do we recommend to take in order to solve the problem.
بله، وقتی که مشکل رو شناسایی کردیم بایستی مشکل رو بررسی کنیم، تجزیه و تحلیل کنیم و بعد به مرحله اقدام و عمل میرسیم که چگونه بایستی با اون مشکل برخورد کنیم.
So we start in practice, we go to theory and we come back to practice.
با عمل شروع میکنیم، به تئوری و نظریه میریم، بعد دوباره باز هم به مرحله عمل میرسیم.
This is a methodology which I have developed for my research, for my habilitation.
این روشی است که من برای متدولوژی و چیزم تو به وجود آوردم، توسعه دادم.
What is important to see that in all these dimensions we have here a cognitive dimension, how to understand it, how to analyze it, but also a normative dimension, how should it be. So in applied ethics both dimensions are together, interwoven.
این به مسئله از دو جنبه نگاه می‌کنیم. اول جنبه ادراکی و شناختی هستش که چگونه این مسئله رو مورد ارزیابی و بررسی و تحلیل قرار بدیم و همینطور به این مسئله از دیدگاه از جنبه هنجاری هم نگاه می‌کنیم که چگونه باید این مسئله باشد، اون چی که هست و اون چی که باید باشد.
This is very abstract plan, but for my students, I tell them they are, when we discuss a case, we do the same thing, but it is here written more understandably.
برای این طرح یه مقدار حالت انتزاعی داره، مجرد، اما من وقتی برای دانشجوام توضیح میدم اینو به صورت نوشته که بیشتر قابل فهم توضیح میدم.
So we have a case and the students read the case and I tell them, tell the story. What is the story of the case? So we have an idea how it is.
وقتی که یک کیسی وجود داره، اول میگیم که باید بدونیم که اون کیس چیه، داستان یا واقعه یا اون موضوع چی هستش، به طور کلی اون باید مشخص بشه.
And then the first step is identify the problem. What is the problem?
قدم اول شناسایی مشکل هستش که مشکل چیه.
And so there are basically three elements. The first is who has to make the decision and solve the problem.
و اساساً سه تا مسئله مطرحه. مسئله اول این که چه کسی باید تصمیم گیری بکنه و چه کسی باید این مشکل رو حل کنه.
And the second dimension is what course of action, what should the actor do?
و سوال دوم اینه که اون عامل و اون تصمیم گیرنده چه اقدامی رو بایستی انجام بده.
And the third is then it is not only what can somebody do, but what should that person do from a moral point of view.
سوال سوم که باز مرتبط به همون سوال دوم هستش، بحث اینه که چه کاری رو باید انجام بده اون شخص تصمیم گیرنده، نه اینکه میتونه انجام بده.
Then the second, well, and this is exactly this question here. Identify the problem.
توی این تحت دقیقاً این مسئله هست.
Then the second step is analyze and understand the problem.
مرحله دوم یا قدم دوم تجزیه و تحلیل و فهم مشکل هستش.
That means first look at the facts. What do we need to know with regard to the actors, the circumstances, alternative courses of actions and their likely consequences.
بله.
These are is factual knowledge.
بله. اطلاعات. پس توی این مرحله نیاز داریم به اطلاعات، اطلاعات که از طریق مطالعات تجربی به دست اومده، چه چیزی رو باید بدونیم در ارتباط با اون عاملان، تصمیم گیرندگان، اوضاع و احوال و اقدام های آلترنتیو، جایگزینی که میتونیم به عمل بیاریم، و همینطور عواقب احتمالی اونها.
And this, the other part, the normative question is how do we evaluate the alternatives, including the consequences from a normative ethical point of perspective.
جنبه دیگر بحث همون جنبه هنجاری هستش، بحث از سوال، بحث هنجاری هستش، چجوری بررسی میکنیم، ارزشیابی میکنیم اون اقداماتی رو، اقدامات رو که پیش رو داریم، که این اقدام رو به عمل بیاریم یا اقدام دیگری را. در این وسط، در این میان، عواقب رو هم در نظر میگیریم از نقطه نظر اخلاق هنجاری.
So the second part is in this area here. And then the third part is here, what make recommendations to solve the problem.
در مرحله سوم، در قدم سوم هم توصیه‌هایی را، پیشنهاداتی را ارائه میدیم برای حل مشکل.
So the step number 3 gives the answer to the question in number 1. We recommend that actor A should take the action X. And the reasoning, why do we recommend that? Because of 2.
بله، در جواب به این سوال باید اول به سوالی که در بخش اول، در مرحله اول مطرح شده، ما توصیه میکنیم که تو اونجا سوال مطرح بود که چه کسی بایستی تصمیم گیری بکنه و مشکل رو حل کنه. حالا توی این مرحله، مرحله پیشنهاد و توصیه است که میگیم فلان شخص بایستی این اقدام رو به عمل بیاره.
Okay, this is just to give you an idea how we approach it. Now, the first case.
Case اول.
It is in our course packet, you have the text there. It is a short case taken from the book Motorola. They use it for a business ethics training of managers.
Well, این از کتابی که توسط شرکت موتورولا چاپ شده که برای بیزینس ترینینگ، برای مدیران، این آموزش مدیران استفاده میشه.
And these are all real cases from all over the world.
اینها مواردی هستند واقعی از سراسر جهان.
But the way they presented, they don't have real names and the real names of countries, so it is fictitious.
شیوه ارائه اینه که در اینها اسم واقعی کشورها نیومده.
Now, what the here the issue is about information proprietary is when is information proprietary, or about intellectual property. Who owns? And since information today is such an important issue in international business, I think it's an interesting case which can illustrate problems of ethical issues in the information age.
بله، چون که الان مسئله اطلاعات بسیار مهمه در تجارت جهانی و بین المللی، بنابراین توجه به این مسئله، اینکه اطلاعات مال چه کسیه، خیلی مهمه.
So it's about protecting information protecting knowledge on the one hand and respecting that others own their knowledge, not to steal information but to protect yourself.
بله، در واقع به حفظ اطلاعات که اجازه ندیم دیگران بدزدند اطلاعات.
Now here we have two companies, Motorola and the competitor Mercury Electronics.
و اینجا ما دو تا شرکت داریم، یکی شرکت موتورولا و یکی شرکت رقیبش که Mercury Electronics.
Both companies develop information technology. These do a lot of research. Motorola, you know, with the mobile phone and many other things. So information and research is very important for them.
هر دوی این شرکت ها تولید تکنولوژی اطلاعاتی دارند که در موتورولا تو این موبایل ها و اینها را تولید.
And here at Motorola we have a number of actors. We have Rex Bayar, who is a Motorola manager and engineer. He is about 35 years old. He's a good good manager, but he is also interested in research, so he is an adjunct professor at the university.
اینجا موارد مشخصی رو داریم که رکس بایرت هست که مدیر این شرکت و مهندسه و همچنین علاقمند به تحقیقی که در یکی از اون دانشگاهی که هستش مشغول به کار هست.
He is part of a work group at Motorola and his supervisor is Johann Streicher, another manager, and then his boss of R&D is Antonio Romulo.
ایشون بخشی از گروه کاری هستش، سوپروایزرش، مشاورش جهان. What is the name?
Streicher.
And what is the other?
Romulo.
Who is that person?
That's the boss of R&D.
مدیر R&D هست. R&D.
Research
and development.
Okay. So this is the part of Motorola who is in charge of this. And here we have at the International Industrial National University, a state university, we have Rex Bayar, who works there in the lab as an adjunct professor. But we also have Professor Krohn. He is professor of information technology.
دانشگاه ملی صنعتی هست، یه دانشگاه دولتی هستش. اینجا رکس بایرد اینجا کار میکنه به عنوان یک محقق و همینطور پروفسور کران رو اینجا داریم.
And there is Marianne McAllister. She is assistant to Professor Krohn.
و این خانم ماریان مک‌الیستر داریم که خواهر پروفسور کران هستش.
And Mr. Krohn, he is a consultant of Mercury Electronics.
آقای پروفسور کران مشاور شرکت مرکوری الکترونیکس هستش.
Okay, this is part of the story. Just a story to know what's going on. And now, what happens? Well, here Mr. Bayar is working at the university, in the lab, and at the computer, and he pulls up a file of research, a Mercury CAD lab file, computer aided design from Professor Krohn and Marianne McAllister, and in this file there are sensitive information about a research project of Mercury.
اینجا آقای رکس بایرد که تو اینجا به عنوان محقق کار میکنه یک فایل اطلاعاتی رو که حاوی اطلاعات حساسی هستش در ارتباط اطلاعات مهمی هستش در ارتباط با شرکت مرکوری الکترونیکس و این اطلاعات توسط پروفسور کران و ماریان مک‌الیستر خواهرش تهیه شده به اونها دسترسی پیدا میکنه.
This company Mercury
خواهرش هم هست.
Assistant. She's assistant.
Assistant and at the same time sister or assistant?
No, not sister.
Assistant.
Mercury, in terms of research and development, is more advanced than Motorola. So Mercury is a far advanced company. And so what Rex Bayaus can find in this file are interesting information for research, including price information.
بله، توی شرکت مرکری الکترونیکس یک شرکت بسیار پیشرفته هستش و این آقای رکس بایرد به اون اطلاعات دسترسی پیدا میکنه و همچنین به قیمت های اون شرکت ها.
And he also is working on a similar project, and when he pulls up the file he's very happy.
ایشون هم روی یک پروژه مشابهی کار میکنه، وقتی که به اطلاعات دسترسی پیدا میکنه خیلی خوشحال میشه.
So what does he do? He reads it, prints it out, looks out and goes home, and at home he's studying the file.
چیکار میکنه؟ یه پرینت میگیره اونو و میبره خونه و مطالعهش میکنه.
The next time he goes back to his office and to the work group and Johann Streicher and tells them, look, here we have interesting information, what do you think?
بله، دفعه بعد که میره به اون مجموعهشون میگه نگاه کن اطلاعات جالبی رو دارم، خب چیکار باید بکنیم؟
And then on the weekend he's back at home and he gets some bad feelings, bad conscience.
در آخر هفته وقتی که بر میگرده خونه احساس بدی داره، از نظر وجدانی ناراحت هستش.
He remembers that Motorola has a policy, and that policy has two principles. One is not to allow other competitors to steal their information, and second, to respect intellectual property of other companies, not to steal.
و یادش میاد که شرکت موتورولا دو تا دیدگاه، دو تا نظر داره، یکی این که اجازه نده دیگران اطلاعاتشو بدزدن و همینطور به اطلاعات دیگران هم و یا به چیز دیگر مالکیت دیگران هم احترام بگذاره.
So he goes back to his boss Antonio Romulo and says tells him what happened.
و میره سراغ رئیسش و بهش میگه که چه اتفاقی افتاده.
Yeah, this is the story. And now the question is, how do we identify the problem?
Yes, in کل ماجرا حالا اینکه ببین چه جوری مسئله رو مشکل رو شناسایی می‌کنیم.
And so I mean we can discuss a little bit if you like how do we identify who has to make a decision, what should be done, and then how to analyze it.
It's okay.
Yeah. Well, this is an interesting case, and maybe I give you my short answer if you like.
یک مورد جالبی هستش که من میتونم به صورت کوتاه جوابمو بدم شما.
First, I think when Rex Bayer pulled up the file, that was not his mistake. He was working here in the lab, and it was negligent that Professor Krohn and his assistant did not protect the files.
بعد این آقای Rex Bayer که اونجا کار میکرد مشکل اشتباه ایشون نبود، برای اینکه اونجا هم کار میکرد، وقتی که اون پرونده رو بیرون میکشه نمیدونست که فکر کنم پروفسور کران و مریم مک الستر مطلع نیستن که ایشون توی این شرکت موتورولا کار میکنن.
But when he read it and printed out and took it home and shared with his colleagues, he clearly overstepped the line. He clearly made a mistake.
Okay,
it's not ethically acceptable.
وقتی که اما این رو به صورت پرینتش رو در آورد برد خونه و برد پیش همکاراش، اون موقع متوجه شد که واقعا اشتباه، عملا اشتباه کرده، به آشکارا اشتباه کرده.
And in addition, he violated the principle of Motorola not to steal information from other companies.
علاوه بر این ایشون نقض کرد اون اصل شرکت موتورولا را که نبایستی به فایل و اطلاعات دیگران دسترسی پیدا کرد، به این منظور که باید به مالکیت معنوی اطلاعات دیگران هم احترام گذاشت.
So from an ethical point of view, I think there are two things important. First is so to the principle to respect intellectual property.
و از نظر اخلاقی به نظر من دو نکته مهمه، یکی این که احترام بگذاریم به مالکیت معنوی،
and also to adhere to the culture and principle policy of the company.
و همچنین بایستی مقید باشیم به اون فرهنگ و اصول شرکت.
So the Antonio Romolo, the boss here, has to make a decision.
بنابراین اینجا توی این شرکت موتورولا آنتونیو رومالو بایستی تصمیم گیری بکنه.
What should he do?
چیکار باید بکنه؟
What should he do? What would you be your answer?
The least he can do is that he shouldn't use the information for the benefit of his company.
Yes. So not to use least. It. The least. Is this possible?
As from the ethical point of view, he can, and it is possible.
But
okay. From the conscience point of view, he can, and from the ethical point of view, okay, he can.
Yes, but he studied the file. He has the information here. He cannot forget it.
اما قبل مطالعه کرده این اطلاعات رو دیگه داره تو ذهنش، نمیتونه که فراموشش کنه. The Kia, Mercury. Okay. He can let the officials, the executives in the Mercury Electronics know that they already know the information.
Yes. So you are saying Romulo should contact Mercury and yeah. tell them what has happened.
He has access to the information.
Yeah, that it has happened.
Okay, he can pay the price, I mean the cost of the information he has got
to, yes.
to compensate for that.
To compensate, yeah.
What do you think then? What's your answer?
My answer.
Now for this part, I mean for the last part.
Yeah.
To compensate.
Well, it is a, I think they have, I also believe, yes, first the information is already here. So the company, Romulo has researched, maybe he has to talk to his boss of Motorola about this, but they do have to contact Mercury, I think. Maybe first Professor Krohn here to tell this has happened at the university. And we are very sorry. How can we solve the problem?
اینا میتونن با پروفسور کران هم ارتباط برقرار کنن و تاسفشون اظهار کنن و بگن که چیکار باید بکنیم حالا. یه همچین موردی توی دانشگاه اتفاق افتاده، حالا نقص ما، وظیفه ما چیه؟ چجوری میتونیم اینو مثلا جبرانش کنیم؟
But in a second step, I think Mercury has to be involved. Yes. Has to be contacted.
در مرحله دوم خود شرکت مرکوری هم باید تماس حاصل بشه. اونها هم باید مطلع بشن.
But it is a delicate issue. It's
خیلی delicate. مسئله ظریفیه.
It's very delicate. Now, what should what about Bayar? What should he be punished or demoted or fired or what? What? How to deal with this case?
بله. راجب رکس بایارد چی فکر میکنی؟ فکر میکنی بایستی اخراج بشه، تنبیه بشه یا مثلا چیزشو بیارن پایین تر؟
But he clearly violated well the principle of Motorola and he made he is, well, from a legal point, from a U.S. legal point, he can be punished.
اما عملا به طور آشکارا نقض کرد اون اصول حاکم بر شرکت موتورولا را و در سیستم حقوقی آمریکا هم این بایستی مجازات بشه.
Because there is a price information included in that information. So if, for instance, if I have my suit, a briefcase with price information and I leave it, I forget it in the restaurant, and my competitor comes and can see that information, uses the information because I lost my briefcase in the restaurant. The competitor is guilty. They is not allowed to have use that price information, even if it is very easy to access.
بنابراین من این چون ایشون دسترسی داشته به اطلاعات مهمی که مال شرکت رقیب بوده، به طور مثلا اگر من یک توی جایی کار میکنم و کیفمو توی رستورانی جا میذارم و توی اون حاوی سری اطلاعاتی هستش، رقیب من بیاد اونو برداره استفاده کنه، اون حقشو نداره.
So Rex Beyer, he violated the law and he violated the policy of the company.
بنابراین آقای رکس بایر هم قانون رو نقض کرد و همینطور اون قانون حاکم بر اون پرینسیپل اصل حاکم بر شرکت موتورولا رو نقض.
And if his superior Romulo does not do anything, he sends the signal it was all right, it was not so.
اگر موافق اون هیچ اقدامی رو به عمل نیاره، نشونه اینه که تاییدش
میکنه. So well, I think Romulo should make a decision, not firing. No, that's too strong, I think. But the Rex Beyer clearly made a mistake. That's no doubt. And a serious mistake.
به نظر من بایستی آنتونیو رومالو اقدام و تصمیم بگیره، خب نه اخراجش نکنه به هر حال، اما این یک اشتباهی رو مرتکب شده.
But it was not only Rex, it was also his supervisor and the whole group who participated in sharing that information.
فقط Rex Beyer نبود، سوپروایزر اون هم، اون جان استرایک.
So it clearly shows that the principle of the company not to steal information from others is a high principle, but the employees don't care so much.
بله، این اصل این که نباید اطلاعات دیگران را بدزدیم یک اصل بسیار خوبیه، اما کارمندان یا کارکنان اون افراد توی شرکت به نظر میاد که توجهی نمی‌کنن به این مسئله.
So it is not only a problem of Rex, but it's a problem of the enforcement and understanding of corporate policy.
این نه تنها مشکل Rex Beyer هستش، بلکه مشکل
it is a problem not only of an individual, but it's a problem how policy was not enforced and made understandable to each employee.
مشکل فرد، نه تنها مشکل فردی، بلکه مشکل اجرایی هم است که چجوری اون قوانین، اون اصول رو به اطلاع دیگران برسیم و همینطور چجوری به اجرا بذاریم.
So in other words, here first it looks as if it is just a problem of an individual at the micro level, but it is also a problem at the meso level of the organization.
اینجا در ابتدا به نظر میرسه که مشکل فردی در سطح جزء هست، مایکرو لول، نه بلکه این بعد در سطح سازمانی هم از میزو لول، اون سطح میانی که دیروز
and it is also a problem between competitors. What does it mean, ethics in competition in the information technology area.
مشکل بین رقبا هم هستش. اینکه این مشخص نیست که وقتی what does it mean to be
ethics
اخلاق در بحث تکنولوژی اطلاعات چه معنی رو پیدا میکنه.
So this is a case well how ethics is an important part in competition and to respect the property information property of others but also to be protected.
بنابراین این نشون میده که چقدر مسئله اخلاقیات در بحث رقابت مهمه که احترام بگذاریم به مالکیت معنوی اطلاعات دیگه، همینطور اطلاعات خودتون هم حفظ بشه، چجوری محافظت بشیم در برابر دزدی اطلاعات.
Yeah, and then there is even a broader issue here. We have Motorola and Mercury. These are commercial organizations. These are companies. But here we have a university.
و اینجا مسئله گسترده‌تر عمیق‌تری مطرحه. اینجا ما دو تا شرکتی که داریم، یک شرکت دو تا شرکت تجاری هستند، اما اینجا یک دانشگاه رو هم داریم.
And information in the at the university is a public good. We are happy that other people read our papers.
اما اطلاعات که تو دانشگاه است یک کالا، یک چیز عمومی هستش. ما خیلی خوشحالیم که دیگران مثلا مقالات ما رو، نوشته های ما رو بخونند.
So we want to spread information and companies want to keep information.
ما می‌خوایم اطلاعاتمون رو گسترش بدیم، توسعه بدیم، اما شرکت‌ها می‌خوان اطلاعات رو نگه دارن، نذارن کسی مطلع بشه.
So it is a clash of cultures and the understanding of information as a private good or as a public good or both.
بله، اینجا تنش بین فرهنگ‌هاست یا جنگ بین فرهنگ‌هاست. آیا اطلاعات یک کالای عمومیه، یک ملک عمومیه، یا اینکه یک چیز خصوصیه بایستی نگه دارید؟
And so I think this has to be clarified even at the macro level to some extent.
این مسئله بایستی در حد کلان هم بررسی بشه و شناسه بشه.
This is my comment. So that is just a small case, but the more you go, you see how broader issues are at stake.
یه مسئله کوچیکی، یه مورد کوچیک، اما حتی بیشتر بهش می‌پردازیم می‌بینیم که چقدر مسئله عمیق‌تر و گسترده‌تر.
Now, the second case, and well, by the way, I think this when we have such a case, we discuss it first. This is with students, not with faculty, but with students, MBA students. They like these cases. They are happy, very happy. Very concrete cases. I am Rex Bayar. I pull up the file. What do I do? You know, it's very concrete.
اطلاعات رو ما وقتی با دانشجویان مقطع لیسانس چیز میکنیم، مطرح در میموزاییم، خیلی خوششون میاد. من مثلا خودم جای اون فرد قرار میدم، این کار کردم، چی کار باید بشه.
But then I try to go make some steps and to say, okay, this is the case now, let's see what is at stake, broader issues, and to understand it more theoretically.
Okay.
From the concrete case, بله. To analyze it.
بله، بعد این وقت مسئله به صورت ملموس و عینی مطرح میشه، میریم توی مراحل بالاتر که این مسئله رو در به صورت عمیق بررسی کنیم.
To discuss ethics in competition or information as a public and private good, what does that mean?
بله، و اینکه اخلاق در رقابت چه معنایی داره، و اینکه این مسئله مورد بحث قرار بدیم که آیا اطلاعات یک چیز عمومی هستش یا خصوصی، مالکیت عمومی یا خصوصی.
So this is the second case on bribery.
مورد دوم هست در ارتباط با رشوه.
And the country is called Exotica, which means a beautiful country somewhere in the world.
برای اسم کشور اکزوتیکا، یک کشور نامشخصی، یک اسم فرضیه گذاشتن.
Exotica, they don't say it's Nigeria, you know, they say it's Exotica.
اسم کشور رو به کار نمیبرم به صورت.
And so it is the customs service. That means Motorola is producing equipment and wants to export it to other countries.
موتورولا چیزایی رو تولید می‌کنه می‌خواد صادر کنه به کشورهای دیگه اون چیزای تولیداتش.
So this is a first plant in Exotica Motorola, and Seamus O'Shaughnessy, this very Irish name, is the new manager.
بله این آقای شیمس
O'Shaughnessy
مدیر این شرکت هست.
Yeah, O'Shaughnessy is Irish, you know.
یک اسم ایرلندی هست.
And he is here for 3 weeks, and his colleague is Peter Placid. He was in the country for 20 years.
Well, ایشون 3 ساله که اینجاست، اما همکارش پیتر پلاسید سالهاست که اینجاست.
Now, O'Shaughnessy checks everything of the company, and he looks at the freight forwarding costs, and he realizes that in the last 7 years the costs have gone up and up and up and up.
بله آقای شمس O'Shaughnessy همین چیزو بررسی میکنه، اینکه از جمله اینکه حمل و نقل و ارسال کالاها رو، هزینه ارسال کالاها رو بررسی میکنه.
And he asks Placid why is this the case?
He asks
his colleague Placid why.
بله. از همکارش میپرسه که وضعیت چجوری هستش.
Yeah, because and the answer is, well, there was inflation in the country, inflation, and so the costs had to go up.
ایشون همکارش میگه که تورم هست تو کشور، بنابراین بایستی قیمت‌ها رو بالا ببرید.
But he's not sure if this is the whole explanation. Maybe there are other reasons.
این یه مسئله است، ممکنه دلایل دیگه‌ای هم باشه.
Now Motorola is doing with business with Magic Touch. There are two other companies, Quickshot and Golden Wings. They also do the forwarding through the customs.
Motorola با شرکت Magic Touch کار می‌کنه. شرکت‌های دیگه‌ای هم هستن که اینها تو همین زمینه ارسال و حمل و نقل کالا کار می‌کنن.
Magic Touch has a small office but not many employees, but they make a lot of money. They are very profitable.
Magic Touch یک دفتر کوچیکی داره اما کارمندای زیادی نداره، اما سود کلانی رو، سود زیادی رو میبره.
Now the next day after O'Shaughnessy was writing this, there was an article in the newspaper, in the international newspaper. It's called here International Gold Street Journal.
بعد از این جریان یک مقاله بوده در یک روزنامه بین المللی Gold Street Journal که ایشون گفتن مثل همون روزنامه Wall Street Journal هستش.
And Ray Brainwright, he's a journalist. He says Motorola is a hypocrite.
اون آقای ری برایند که یک روزنامه نگاره میگه که شرکت موتورولا یک منافق هستش، منافقانه عمل میکنه.
On the one side Motorola says we want to be an ethical company. On the one side Motorola says we want to be an ethical company.
از یه جهت، از طرفی شرکت موتورولا میگه که ما یک شرکت اخلاقی هستیم، یعنی به موازین اخلاقی احترام میگذاریم، اون دو تا اصلی که داشتن.
And on the other side they do business with Magic Touch, who clearly has a lot of bribes. So Motorola has clean hands but the business partner is corrupt.
بله. از طرف دیگه هم با شرکت Magic Touch همکاری میکنه که قطعا توی این بیان رشوه هستش.
And so and Motorola knows that, and he says this is hypocrisy.
Motorola.
No, the journalist says this is not honest.
بله. Motorola روزنامه‌نگار میگه که این صادقانه نیستش، کار شرکت موتورولا.
So here it is not about the behavior of Motorola but it's about the behavior of the business partner. And the question, the title is Motorola my
اینجا فقط رفتار شرکت موتورولا نیست، بلکه اون بیزینس پارتنر شریک تجاریش، یعنی همون شرکت
موتورولا، its agents ethical keeper. The question you know in the Bible, Abel and Cain, the sons of
Adam and Eve,
when Cain killed Abel, God asked him, "Where is Abel?" And Cain says, "Am I the keeper of my brother? Am I responsible for what my brother does?"
Right.
And here is, so to speak, is Motorola responsible for what Magic Dutch is doing?
و این مسئله شبیه داستان حضرت آدم هستش که اونجا قابیل حابیل رو میکشه و وقتی خدا از قابیل میپرسه که برادرت کجاش، میگه من نمیدونم، مگه من مسئول برادرم هستم. اینجا هم از شرکت موتورولا وقتی میگه آیا من مسئول چیز هستم، اون کاری که شرکت ماجیک تاچ انجام میده هستم، و این عنوان تقریبا شبیه اون جریان هستش گرفته شده که is Motorola its agents ethical keeper، شبیه اون اصل داستان حابیل و قابیل هست.
So here again the question, how do we identify the problem, who are the decision makers, what do we recommend to do at the end? And so the first question, well, who has to Who is the moral actor?
عامل اخلاقی یا اون اقدام به عمل آورن، چه کسی بایستی تصمیم گیری بکنه و اقدام به عمل
بیاره؟ And yes. If you have any suggestion.
اگه پیشنهادی دارید جوابی دارید.
What should Shaughnessy do?
Shaughnessy بایست چی کار بکنه؟
He is under pressure, you know. It's not an issue within the company. It's already in the newspapers.
این مسئله فقط یه مسئله توی شرکت نیست، بلکه توی سطح روزنامه و مطبوعات هم مطرح شده. بنابراین این یک حالت مستکبر هستش. این آدم چی بگم؟ کسی که حق دیگران رو دایم اپرسر هستش.
من فکر میکنم که بیش از اون که ما در سطح ویزو
بکنم و سازمانی
هستیم، باید در سطح مکنونه قضیه رو بررسی کنیم و خیلی از دستور رو اونجا تبدیل.
He believes that before we come to the NISO level, we have to, clarify everything at the macro level.
Yes.
Rex fired.
هر شرکتی فقط مسئول کار خودشه یا مسئول کار دیگران؟ اگر شرکت موتورولا در ماجیک تاچ برخورد داشته و بهش گفته، اینجا جرمی مرتکب شده، یعنی در واقع اینجا یک اعتراف اخلاقی رو بدون همه فروش بود، خب برخورد مسئولش هست. اما اگر نه، که مثلا رشوهی واقعا داده شده هست، مسئولش هست.
In case of Motorola, we had to discuss for the previous case, we have to see whether what perspective are we taking. Are we going towards the criminal philosophy of taking preventive measures?
Mm-hmm.
Again, in this case, the question is whether this Motorola company has the right to sell goods, to have connections with the Magic Touch, which is in itself, again, a company. Now, if there has been the case of a bribery, yes, there should be some measures taken. But if not, they have done something wrong on themselves, on their own. Is Magic Touch. Is Motorola responsible for that, which is against the both Christians and Islamic, from Christian and Islamic point of view, which nobody takes care of the other person's, I mean, fault.
Yes.
And then how do you think in this case?
So if I understand, there are two points. First, we have to find out about bribery, to investigate, to know what really has happened.
اول بایستی بررسی کنیم رجوعی که واقعا چه اتفاقی افتاده رجوع مسئله رشوه.
It is the journalist who says so, but one has to find out exactly what is the situation.
چیزی که این روزنامه نگار میگه واقعا بایستی بررسی کنیم که ببینیم که همچی چیزی اتفاق افتاده یا نه.
But from
okay, he says, I mean, it is after we have identified the problem.
Okay. Afterwards, we say there is clear bribery. Magic Touch demands bribes from other companies. This is a clear fact.
این یک چیز مشخصی که شرکت Magic Touch رشوه‌های زیادی را از شرکت‌های دیگه می‌گیرد.
We make that assumption. Yeah. Well, then, as you said, it is each company is, from a legal point of view, is responsible for its behavior. So, Magic Touch is responsible for paying bribes, but not Motorola. Yes.
But تو این حال وضعیت اون شرکت Magic Touch که مسئولیت داره در قبال پرداخت رشوه، نه شرکت موتورولا.
But Motorola is a powerful company. They can go to Quickshot or to Golden Wings. So when they do business with Magic Touch, they have an influence on Magic Touch.
موتورولا یه شرکت قدیم، اونا میتونن برن سراغ شرکت های دیگه. اگر مثلا دارن با شرکت Magic Touch اینا هم حتی دارن کار میکنن، میتونن اثر بذارن روی اون شرکت، نفوذ دارن روی اون شرکت.
So of course then the question is, well, maybe Quickshot and Golden Wings are also corrupt.
سوال مسئله مهمتر این که توی این شرکت ها هم رشوه هستش.
So if in a country there is a culture of corruption, what do you do?
در یک کشوری که فرهنگ فساد هست شما چیکار می‌کنید؟
This is very difficult. It's a big question. And I think in that case we cannot just say it's up to Motorola or to Magic Touch. We know that why do the customers the clerks of the customs service require bribes? Why? Because they need to feed their families. The salaries here are very, very low because of inflation, and the government did not raise the salaries. So if those employees don't get bribes or payments, they cannot survive.
رشوه دریافت میکنن، برای اینکه وضعیت از طرفی گفته شد که تورم هست، زندگی سخته، اینها باید زندگیشون رو بگذارونن و مجبورن که رشوه بدن تا زندگیشون بگذاره.
So it looks as if it's a question between something which is bad and or the question of the less evil. What is, both things are bad. I mean, to pay bribes is a bad thing, but on the other hand, not to pay bribes, and so that the employees at the customs service don't get the money is also bad. So if Motorola stops paying high costs, high fees here, the employees don't get the money, and that will hurt people who need some income to survive.
دو مسئله اینجا مطرحه. یکی مسئله گرفتن رشوه هستش که خودش بده، و نگرفتنش هم بده، چون نمیتونن زندگیشونو بچرخونن. بنابراین وقتی شرکت موتورولا پرداخت میکنه از طریق هم اومدی باید اینو بگیرن برای اینکه زندگیشونو بچرخونن.
So in a way Motorola is very powerful and they can have clean hands, but other people are paying the costs for that.
از جهتی شرکت موتورولا خیلی شرکت قوی هستش and
other people pay the costs.
و دیگران دارند هزینه‌شو می‌پردازند.
So it's difficult. Well, again, I think corruption, bribery and corruption is a very, very big issue.
مسئله فساد، رشوه خیلی مسئله بزرگی.
And not only in developing countries.
نه تنها در کشورهای در حال
توسعه. Also in developed countries, in Germany for instance.
بلکه در کشورهای پیشرفته و توسعه یافته.
And corruption. So well, is it? I think it's bad from an ethical point of view. And it's bad from an economic point of view.
Well, از دو جنبه بعد، هم از جنبه اخلاقی هم از جنبه اقتصادی. There's a question, I think.
Yeah.
بفهم.
این حضرت علی هم دقت کنید اون طرف رو دقیق صورت مسئله براش روشن کنید. بگیم فرض بر این استش که تکثر عقیده و تکثر فرهنگ پذیرفته شده. در فضای تکثر فرهنگ و تکثر عقیده اگر رشوه گرفته نشود سوال دارد.
Okay.
این رو باید ما جواب بدیم. از اون ور سوال مطرحه.
Yes.
رشوه گرفتن یک چیز طبیعیه، چون میگه فرهنگ من اجازه میده یا عقیده من اجازه میده، چون تکثر عقیده هستش و تکثر فرهنگه، و بر مبنای تکثر فرهنگ تکثر رفتارهای نشأت گرفته از فرهنگه. بنابراین اگر رشوه گرفته نشود سوال دارد که چرا گرفته نشود، اما اگر گرفته شود خیلی طبیعیه، نه چرا، خیلی خیلی طبیعیه.
Now he says you believe that we believe in cultural pluralism.
Yeah.
And we have to take care of different opinions, different ideas. If there is bribery in this kind of culture, it's okay, because people say it's accepted in my culture. If there is no bribery, this is the point we might ask the question, why there isn't any bribery? He says, he wants, I think, to say that, I mean, bribery is an indispensable part of, cultural pluralism.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know that is a famous saying, when you are in Rome, do as the Romans do. These are the Greeks who say, when you do business in Rome, do as the Romans do. If the Romans used to have the culture of bribery, pay bribes. If the Romans have a culture of not having bribes, don't pay bribes. So when you go to another country, respect the culture of that country. This is a question of pluralism or ethical relativism.
یه ضرب المثلی وجود داره، میگه که خواهی نشوی رسوا همرنگ جماعت شو، هر جا که هستی اونجوری عمل کن. آیا این مسئله اخلاقیه یا نسبیت فرهنگی هستش؟
So as you may know, many companies, when they did business in Indonesia or in Nigeria, they said, well, if we want to do business in those countries, we have to pay bribes. It is part of business culture.
For example, companies that are in Indonesia or نیجریه فعالیت میکنن میگن ما بایستی رئیس ببریم چون بخشی از فرهنگ حاکم بر اون کشور هستش.
And there is nothing wrong.
و هیچ تخلفی نیست، هیچ اشتباه نیست.
And so even a company, say for instance German companies that did paid bribe in Nigeria, bribe is not the bribe, it's part of business expenditure.
بله، وقتی که یک شرکت آلمانی اونجا رشوه میده، این رشوه نیست، این بخشی از اون هزینه هاست.
And so when the German company pays taxes to the German government, they say, well, those expenditures in Nigeria, well, they are not bribes, they are expenditures, so we don't have to pay taxes. The taxes are lower.
بنابراین وقتی اون شرکت ها میخوان مالیات بپردازن توی آلمان، میگن ما اون برایب رشوه ای که به عنوان هزینه پرداخت کردیم اینو از مالیات کم میکنن و میزان مالیات میاد پایین.
And the companies were happy.
و خوشحالن از این.
And but when the companies do the same thing in Norway, then they are punished.
اگر این شرکت ها همون کار رو توی نروژ انجام بدن، اونا مجازات میشن.
So it is a problem.
مشکلیه.
And I mean, this is from a normative point of view. How to deal with, say, a culture, respected culture of doing business in a particular country, and how to do that from an international point of view.
Well, این یه مسئله‌ایه که حالا مطرحه. I'm sorry, I lost the line.
It is first, it's an ethical issue.
از نقطه نظر هنجاری یک مسئله هستش که چجوری آیا احترام بگذاریم به اون فرهنگ به فرض رشوه‌ای که در نیجریه یا اندونزی هست، یا از نقطه نظر بین المللی باید نگاه کنیم به این مسئله.
But I think it's also an economic problem.
این یه مسئله اقتصادی هم هست، مشکل اقتصادی.
And a business environment where bribery is rampant is very expensive. It's very expensive.
For business?
No, for the whole economy.
Mm-hmm.
There are high costs.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a market economy with corruption, it cannot really function.
اگر اقتصاد بازاری که فساد درش باشه واقعا نمیتونه مؤثر باشه.
If the level of corruption is very high, the markets cannot function anymore because the price signals, the prices do not give the necessary information.
اگر در میزان فساد خیلی بالا باشه، عملکرد اقتصاد بازار بسیار پایین میاد، چون که اون قیمت ها چیزی رو نشون نمیده، اطلاعات واقعی رو نشون نمیدن.
And the money goes to people and organizations that are not productive.
و پول میره به کسایی یا به دست سازمان ها و افرادی میرسه که مولد نیستند.
So the question of bribery and corruption is an ethical issue, but it's also an economic issue. There are today books, many studies. The World Bank did a lot of studies, economic studies on corruption.
بنابراین مسئله رشوه و فساد هم یک مسئله اخلاقی و هم یک مسئله اقتصادی هستش. کتاب‌های زیادی راجع به این مسئله نوشته شده. Okay, there's.
اگر که در نروژ نسبیت فرهنگی رو ما قبول داریم که باید قبول داشته باشیم، نسبیت فرهنگی محصول طبیعیش اینه که جایی که ایجاب کرد من رشوه رو بگیرم، جایی که منافع ایجاب کرد رشوه رو بگیرم. محصول طبیعی نسبیت فرهنگی حتی در نروژ است. این که نروژ نمیذاره رشوه بگیریم، میباید با قبول نسبیت فرهنگی تفسیر بشه چرا نمیذاره رشوه بگیریم. بخیر، فرض بر اینه که نسبیت فرهنگیه، تکثر فرهنگیه، من میرم به سراغ اون فرهنگی که یه مقدار را باز میزه.
Okay, when it comes to the case of Norway saying that they are not allowed to pay bribery or and even they are punished when they pay bribery, if we speak of cultural relativism or cultural pluralism, now this is, there's a question, you know, if you are free to choose, if you see that the Norway government does not allow you to pay bribes even you are punished, then why should they go and invest there, do there? I can go somewhere else. And the question is, why, if we believe in cultural relativism, why doesn't the Norwegian government does not allow, why doesn't the Norwegian government allow to the others, for example, the employees in the customs service to receive bribe?
Why?
He says, if we believe in cultural relativism, yes, there should be no, I mean, ban, something like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I maybe first a term. I would distinguish between cultural relativism and ethical relativism. And cultural relativism means that in each there are many different cultures, and so to respect the culture of a country is an important part of our ethical understanding.
من بین دو مسئله نسبیت فرهنگی و نسبیت اخلاقی تفاوت قائل هستم.
So for instance, if you in Japan gifts are very important, to give gifts in business.
در مثال در ژاپن هدیه دادن توی بیزینس اینا خیلی مهم هستش.
And this is part of business culture and Japanese culture.
این بخشی از فرهنگ کار و بازار و اقتصاد اون کشور.
And so the question is, what role do those gifts have in business? And I think I would say this is a cultural special cultural aspect of doing business in Japan, to give gifts, and this is nothing wrong.
به نظر من این چیز اشتباهی نیست، اینکه چه نقشی رو این هدایا توی این سیستم بازی میکنه چیز بدی نیست، این بخشی از فرهنگ اون کشور هستش.
But and that's why, for instance, Motorola has a policy for gift giving in Japan.
و به این دلیلی که شرکت موتورولا این سیاست و خط مشی اینکه هدیه بده توی ژاپن رو داره.
And that policy is only for Japan. It is not for Germany or for Sweden.
این سیاست فقط برای ژاپن، نه برای آلمان و جای دیگه.
But ethical relativism, I think, is a different kind of, is different from cultural relativism.
نسبیت اخلاقی متفاوت با نسبیت فرهنگی هستش.
And so, but of course, sometimes the difference is not so clear. But I would say ethical relativism means that you should pay bribes in a country where there is a culture of bribes, and in a culture where you don't pay in a culture, say in a clean culture, you have to be clean, and I think that is difficult to support.
You have to. I'm sorry. The second part. You have to pay either bribe
no,
or
ethical. What does okay. it mean? Ethical relativism. I think cultural relativism. I think that's fine. But here I have big question.
اینجا سوال بزرگی برای من مطرح میشه که منظور از نسبیت اخلاقی چی؟ البته میگه بعضی موقع تفاوت بین این دو زیاد مشخص نیست.
And because ethical relativism tells me that in this in one country to pay bribes is fine, is okay, and in another country it is not.
بله، نسبیت اخلاقی میگه که پرداخت رشوه در یک کشوری خوبه، در یک کشور دیگه مثلا بده.
And not only for cultural reasons, but for ethical reasons.
نه تنها به دلایل فرهنگی، بلکه به دلایل اخلاقی.
It is. This is an ethical reflect, but I think we have to discuss this again. But you know, in international business ethics, I think they are a number of extremes which we should avoid. If we ask what kind of global ethics do we propose?
در تجارت بین المللی چیزهای افراط وجود داره دو جنبه، اما ما باید ببینیم وقتی صحبت میکنیم ببینیم که what اخلاق جهانی یا اخلاقیات جهانی که همه روی اون فکر میکنم چیز دارن توافق دارن چی هستش.
I think we have one kind of ethical relativism when in Rome do as the Romans do.
برای یک بحث همون نسبیت اخلاقی داریم که مطابق همون ضرب المثل اینه که خواهی نشوی رسوا همرنگ جماعت شو.
We have the opposite, ethical imperialism.
نقطه مقابلش امپریالیسم اخلاقی هستش.
Which means my own ethical standards are imposed on other countries.
به این معنی است که اون استانداردها و نگاه‌های اخلاقی من بر دیگر کشورها تحمیل بشه.
And ethical skepticism means ethical standards don't make sense.
شکاکی اخلاقی هم وجود داره، میکنه که از معیارهای اخلاقی هستن وجود ندارند.
So, and
okay, there is a question again.
Yeah.
بزن توضیح بده اگه. Okay, go ahead then.
And I think all three options here are not, from my point of view, are not acceptable or questionable.
از نقطه نظر من، از دیدگاه من، هیچ ستای اینها رد نمیپذیرم.
So we have to find a global ethics which avoids relativism, imperialism, skepticism.
ما بایستی اخلاقیات متوافقی پیدا کنیم که از این ستا پرهیز کنیم، این ستا رو در بر نداشته.
And but I mean this is what we have to work on.
این چیزی که بایستی راجبش کار کنیم. کدوم؟ Global ethics؟ نه. Okay. What are the elements of these global ethics?
Yeah. Well, my short answer is you remember this. I said the idea from Rawls, an overlapping consensus, and that means we need this kind of ethics. What is the content? Well, I think the content is, for instance, in terms of bribery and corruption, that first we have to identify, is it bribery or corruption? And this is a complicated issue. But once we know that it's corruption, I think corruption is not acceptable from an ethical point of view.
بله، مسئله که مطرح به فرض مسئله رشوه. اول باید بدون که آیا رشوه فساد هست یا نیست. اگر تشخیص دادیم، اگر تعیین مشخص کردیم که رشوه فساده، بنابراین این رشوه این مورد قبول نیست. این مورد توافق هستش. این اصل no corruption، فساد نباید باشه، یک اصلی مورد پذیرش همه.
This is as a principle. But then the question is how to move towards this principle, how to implement that. And this is very complicated.
اینه که چجوری این اصول، به سمت این اصول حرکت کنیم و این اصول رو به اجرا بگذاریم.
This is very complicated.
خیلی پیچیده است.
And one has to think about the consequences of the policies.
و ما باید راجع به عواقب این سیاست ها و خط و مشی ها هم فکر کنیم.
Today, the OECD, the Organization of Economic OECD, the Organization of Economic consumers. Yes, and development. They, in 1999, they set up a convention. And so in those 39 countries, it is a law. Grand corruption is not accepted. It's, so the example I gave from a German company doing business in Nigeria and being able to deduct the bribes from their own tax expenditures, they cannot do it anymore. They have to be, because the OECD countries, they set up that standard, and so big corruption is in principle illegal.
این در سال 1999 39 کشور این سازمان رو تشکیل و این سازمان یک استاندارد ها معیارهایی رو مشخص کرد که برای مقابله با مسئله فساد، بنابراین اون مسئله پرداخت شرکت آلمان، پرداخت رشوه توسط شرکت آلمانی در نیجریه یک فساد حساب میشه از دیدگاه این کنوانسیون.
And so one can say this is a legal aspect, it's not an ethical issue.
این جنبه جنبه حقوقی داره البته، نه جنبه اخلاقی.
And but it is today for major for those countries, and that means a large part of the world, it has become law.
با نه تنها برای این کشور بلکه بخش اعظم دنیا این یک قانون شده.
Law, legal. Now, one thing is about here the principle, but then how to implement it, and I think that is a very complicated matter. It's very complicated because one has to take into account the consequences on all the people affected by such a policy of non-corruption.
سوالی که اینجا بحث همون مطرح قبلا هم مطرح شد که این که چجوری اینا به اجرا بذاریم و عواقب اون رو برای افرادی که متأثر از این جریان میشن رو مد نظر قرار بدیم.
And again I think it is important to look at this from a legal point of view, from an ethical point of view, and also from an economic point of view.
و این مهمه به این مسئله هم از نقطه نظر حقوقی، اخلاقی و همچنین اقتصادی نگاه کنیم.
مشکل هست در مفهوم اقتصاد هست، یعنی آیا مفهوم اقتصاد هم نیست؟ یعنی آیا ممکن است اقتصاد بگیریم
The problem again, the more important problem is the concept of corruption. Is there a relativity regarding the definition of corruption? For example, there might be a definition of something regarded as being corrupt, but in some other cases or countries, it might not be considered as being a corruption.
Well.
اصلا ایشون قائل اینها رو قائل نیستن که گفتم من به اینا معتقد نیستم.
همین، نه ببینید یه تفاوتی که هست، ایشون قائل به این هستن که ما اون نقطه نظرهای مشترک رو پیدا کنیم، ولی اگر ما قائل به این باشیم که یک سری ثابتات اخلاقی داریم، ثابتات اخلاقی اینگونه نیست که مشترکات اخلاقی رو بگیریم، بلکه آنچه را که عقل انسانی، نه اینکه عقلای انسان عالم، که بگیم نقطه مشترک ما بین فرهنگ‌های متفاوت و کشورهای متفاوت رو ایشون تو دیاگرام کشیدن، نه، ما بگیم که اساساً عقل انسان میتواند قضاوت کند که یک کاری بد است و یا خوب، همچنان که اون فردی که ایشون مثال زدن وقتی که پرینت گرفت در اون شرکت موتورولا و پیش خودش ناراحت شد که چرا این کار رو کرد و لذا اومد اعتراف کرد، این دیگه دنبستگی به فرهنگ نداره، وجدان انسان، عقل انسان. آیا ایشون قائل به این باشن یا نه؟ اگر قائل باشن وقت دیدگاه فرق میکنه، میشه باب دیگری رو باز کرد.
باید اون مشرکت
یعنی اگر ایشون قائل به ثابتات باشه میشود گفت که هم مرز مشترک همون ثابتات هست.
Now the question, I mean, it's again it, in line with his question. You talked about ethical relativism, imperialism, whatever. Now you also talked about coming to a kind of common ground, finding ethical, global ethical. But do you believe that there are certain ethical issues, regardless of any culture, are there are stable issues, firm issues? You know, from for example, the case you mentioned regarding the Motorola in the first case, the buyer, what was the Rex buyer? He, when he got the prints, but he felt that he is guilty, regardless of taking into consideration whether there are any principles governing the Motorola company. Yeah. But inside, he had a deep feeling of guilt. Do you think that there are certain ethical principles which are culturally neutral, and they are, and then if so, what are the sources, or what is the source of these stable issues?
Well, I do believe that there are some basic moral principles, and you can find that in each culture. Do not kill innocent life, do not steal, do not lie, do not commit sexual adultery. So you can find those four principles in all cultures. And so that is something we have in common. Only the question is, what do those very abstract principles mean for concrete life? How do we translate it into concrete life?
Yes. بله من معتقدم که یه سری سلسله اصولی هستن که فارغ از مسائل فرهنگی بین همه فرهنگ‌ها مشترک، از جمله دروغ نگید، دزدی نکنید، کسی رو نکشید یا اون بحث زنای به عنف اینها، اما اینکه چه جوری اینها رو ترجمه کنیم به عمل در بیاریم در مرحله عینی و عمل به اجرا بذاریم.
We have a text in our reading towards a global ethic. And here, all the world religions, the leaders of world religions, set up four principles, which is, not to kill. That means positively for a culture of non-violence. Not to steal, for a culture of honesty, trustworthiness. Not to steal for a culture of justice, not to steal, not to lie for a culture of honesty, and not to commit sexual adultery for a culture of respect of men and women. And these are four principles.
What was the fourth one? I'm sorry. The fourth
for the respect of men and women. And these are four principles which have been accepted by those world religious leaders.
مبحثی رو توی همین کورسمون خواهیم داشت تحت عنوان Global Ethics. اونجا مطرح شده که وقتی رهبران مذهبی جهان روی چهار اصل اخلاقی توافق کردن، یکی بحث عدم خشونت هستش، فرهنگ صداقت هست، فرهنگ عدالت و فرهنگ احترام به زن و مرد.
So I do believe we have such a moral ground or basis. My question and my problem is how to make it, how to translate it to our situations of real life where, and so even if we have very good high principles, it's still a question, what does that mean in a particular situation or in a particular.
دوباره تاکید میکنم که من معتقدم که وجود داره، اما سوال مسئله اساسی اینه که چجوری اینها را در اصل به اجرا بگذاریم. خیلی ممکنه خیلی استانداردها و معیارهای عالی رو داشته باشیم، اما بحث اصلی بر سر اینه که چجوری اینها را به مرحله ظهور عمل برسونیم. The last question was, then if you believe so, what's the source of these kinds of principles, stable ethical principles?
Well, I do believe here religion has an important, extremely important, makes important contributions. You know, this is the foundation of those principles. Can be found in world religions, and so that's why I personally am very convinced that we need the cooperation and the input from world religions for these important questions. Without that, it is not possible.
به نظرم معتقدن که فرهنگ نقش بسیار بسیار چیز مذهب و دین نقش بسیار بسیار مهمی رو داره و من معتقدم که باید مجموعه و ترکیبی از اصول اخلاقی در دین ها و مذاهب مختلف رو استفاده کنیم.
Yeah. But the question, I mean, it is a complex issue, but the question is how to have, as I said, the Mount Fuji, you know, a fixed point or some basic fundamental moral principles. But what do they mean, and how to spell out in our economy, in our daily life?
اون تصویری که روی جلد کتابشون گفت چجوری اون کوه فوجی که سمبل یک سری چیزای نقاط صافی.
Before the break, the case was on bribery and corruption. And I said that bribery and corruption is a widespread phenomenon and a complex phenomenon, and so it is important to find out how do we conceptualize, how do we understand a bribe. And I have here a short proposal which can help, for instance, in the case of Motorola we discussed, when we ask what is the difference between a bribe and a gift and a tip, and in each language we have many, many expressions for bribery, grease money or under the table payment and so on. In each language there are dozens of terms to say, well, it's a facilitating payment, that's the term in the law actually, or many other things. So we cannot just say because it is called a bribe or it is not a bribe that in reality it is. The semantics is important, but it's not enough.
فساد هستش یا نه، اول باید ما از نظر مفهومی مشخص کنیم. میاییم تو این بحث که بگیم رشوه و هدیه و انعام، بعضی ها انعام میگیم تو فارسی چی هستش،
و اینکه
تشخیص بدیم تو یه جا مثلا در ارتباط با اون شرکت موتورولا آیا اون رشوه بوده یا نه، کار بسیار سختی هستش و در زبانهای مختلف هم این مفاهیم معانی مختلف پیدا میکنه.
So this is just an example, an attempt to conceptualize what do we mean by bribe. And I think there are four elements. The first element, we look at transaction happening. What kind of transaction is going on when Motorola pays high costs to Magic Judge and they pay that to the customs service? Well, it is a two-way street. That means a give and take. There is a bribe giver and a bribe taker. It's not just one way. Motorola is not just paying high fees, but they get something back, namely that their goods go through the customs smoothly. So it is a give and take, a two-way transaction.
تو این محله باید بدونیم که اصلا بحث ترانزکشن چیه، چگونه هست، این معامله چجوری داره صورت میگه. در ارتباط با شرکت موتورولا بحث برایب و رشوه دو جانبه هستش، مثل یه خیابون دو طرفه هستش، داد و ستد هستش، به صورت give and take هستش.
Now what is a gift? Well, a gift is a one-way transaction. I give a bunch of flowers to my wife, period. I don't expect to give to get the flowers back, or maybe some other favors, maybe. But basically, a gift is defined by a one-way transaction. This is very different.
Gift یا هدیه یک معامله یا یک ارتباط یک جانبه هستش. ما به گلی رو یه چیز به طرف دیگه میدیم، اما انتظار نداریم که اون هم برگرده یک چیزی رو به ما بده.
And now, what is a tip?
Tip چیه؟ انعام چیه؟
To when I go to the airport with by taxi, and I know I have to pay $10 to go there, and the taxi driver did a good job. Well, in America, you are supposed to pay a tip, about 15%. At the end, so I give him $1.50, and as a kind of transaction, I would say, well, it's a one-and-a-half way transaction. If I'm not happy with the driver, I just pay $10. I don't give the tip. So I'm not obliged to pay a trip for a bad service. But if the service is okay, I should pay a tip.
بحث انعام هم یه چیزی که بیشتر توی آمریکا خیلی رایج هستش. به فرض من از اینجا دارم میرم فرودگاه و بایستی $10 به تاکسی بپردازم. اما اگه اون تاکسی راننده تاکسی خوب عمل کردش خوب باشه و من خوب رفتار کرده باشه، من بهش یه چیزی رو که معمولاً 15% هستش بهش چیزی اضافه پرداخت میکنم و مجبور نیستم، وظیفه‌ام نیست، اما این کار رو میکنیم و این همون انعام هستش و این معامله یا ترانزکشن یک و نیم طرفه هست دیگه.
So this is the first criteria. The second is about the level of transparency. What level is it, high is or low? Well, the definition of a bribe is basically it is very low transparency. It is an under the table payment. It's not on the table. It's under the table. So we don't talk about it.
در مرحله دوم بحثتون داره معناشناسی میکنه دیگه، سمانتیکسشه. بحث سطح شفافیت هستش که در ارتباط با رشوه این سطح شفافیت بسیار پایینه، زیر میزی رو میزی نیست پرداخت.
So in the Motorola case, they say the costs are higher, but they don't know how much is really cost and how much is bribe.
در کیس موتورولا میگن که هزینه ها بالاست، اما نمیگن که قیمت چیه و چقدر بالاست.
And it is not, they cannot publish that in the newspaper.
They cannot
publish it in the newspaper.
و نمیتونه منتشر بشه در روزنامه ها. یعنی این بحث رشوه و اینا، مقدارش چقدر بوده، چه جوری بوده، نمیتونه تو روزنامه.
Who paid what? Yeah. Well,
چی پرداخت کرده و چقدر بوده یا چی پرداخت کرده.
In terms of with regard to the gift and the tip, transparency is high. There is no need to hide. To give a gift, you tell it. I mean, it's not necessary that the whole world knows, but those who get the gift and the environment, they can know it. So there is a high level of transparency. And for tips as well.
در ارتباط با هدیه و انعام سطح شفافیت بسیار بالاست، دلیلی نداره که بخوایم اونو پنهانش کنیم.
So there are two more criteria about how many parties are concerned in the case of a bribe. We have the bribe taker and the bribe giver. But I think there is a third party involved as well, namely those who are cheated. The famous bribery case of the International Olympic Committee. Salt Lake City. You have heard about this, maybe. You know that the Winter Olympics took place in Salt Lake City in America.
When?
This year in winter time, 2000.
Okay, 2000.
In February 2002. That was this year.
Okay, this one is
better. Yeah. So, well, in I think it was in 1996 or so, the International Olympic Committee had to decide where the Winter Olympics will take place, in what city.
بله در سال 1996 کمیته بین المللی المپیک بایستی تصمیم میگرفت که برای سال 2002 بازی های المپیک زمستانی بایستی کجا برگزار بشه.
So and Salt Lake City was the winner. The games took place in America here.
قرار شد که Salt Lake City که توی آمریکاست اینجا باشه.
And the question was why?
سوال اینجا بود که چرا؟
And it was a bribery case, you know.
مورد رشوه اینجا مطرح.
Some people, officials from Salt Lake City, gave money to some members of the International Olympic Committee in 1996.
بعضی از مقامات مسئول در این شهر سالت لیک رشوه دادن به بعد بعضی از اعضای اون کمیته بین المللی
to vote in favor of this city against other cities.
به نفع این شهر رای بدن در برابر شهرهای دیگه.
So that was a big scandal.
رسوایی بزرگی بود.
And we have some members they got, for instance, one member from Latin America. He got about $30,000. His son could study in America at the famous university for free.
But یکی از اعضای این کمیته مثلا از آمریکای لاتین $30,000 رشوه گرفت که به این صورت پسرش میتونست در یکی از دانشگاه‌های مشهور آمریکا درس بخونه با این هزینه.
So that member, the father, got that money for his son, and he voted in favor of Salt Lake City. So this is give and take. I give you a college education for your son, and you give me your vote.
و این چیز بحث داد و ستده. من آموزش دانشگاهی رو به فرزند شما میدم و شما هم رأیتون رو به من بدید.
Now I'm saying there are three parties. I'm asking who is affected by that, and my point is there are not only two but three involved. Three.
یه سه طرف درگیر و دخیلن توی این بحث bribe رشوه.
So it is the bribe giver, the bribe taker, and the very idea of Olympics. It is against the spirit of Olympics to pay bribes.
دهنده رشوه، گیرنده رشوه و همینطور خود کمیته بین‌المللی المپیک.
If international Olympics are basically influenced by money, by bribery, that is against the idea, and so the Salt Lake City ran into many troubles.
اگر کمیته بین المللی المپیک رشوه دریافت کنه، این برخلاف ایدئال های اون یا آرمان های اون کمیته هستش.
So it is important to think about three parties and not only two.
خیلی مهمه که تو این مسئله به سه طرف رو در نظر بگیم، نه فقط دو طرف رو.
But here, with regard to gift and tips, there are basically two parties involved.
در ارتباط با هدیه و انعام اصولاً یا اساساً دو طرف هستن، دهنده و گیرنده.
And finally, we can say also, looking at the power relationship in the case of bribes, it is always unbalanced. Either the bribe taker is active or the bribe giver can be active. But it is an unbalanced power relationship.
سومین ارتباط، چهارمین معیاری که برای مشخص شدن معنای این سه تا کلمه باید یا اصطلاح در نظر بگیریم، ارتباط قدرتی بین این افراد دهنده و گیرنده حالا رشوه یا هدیه و یا انعام هستش که در ارتباط با رشوه میگه نامتوازن هستش، یکی بالاست یکی پایین یا بالا.
So this is an example how to better understand what the bribe is and what the bribe is not. When talking about a bribery, there are some people who say, well, everything is a bribe or nothing is a bribe, so they are big extremes.
افرادی هستن که معتقدند در دو جنبه، یعنی در حالت افراد میگن همه چی در این حالت همه چی رشوه است و یا اینکه هیچ کدوم رشوه نیست.
There is a big gray area.
یه منطقه خاکستری گسترده یعنی وجود داره.
And I think in business ethics we have to move. You know, these are extremes.
اینا حد نهایت هستن در اخلاق اقتصادی یا اخلاق در امور اقتصادی، ما باید به سمت وسط حرکت کنیم.
To reduce that, this is still gray. This is still gray, but this is clearly black, and this is white.
White.
So to speak.
But این قسمت کاملا سیاه، این قسمت کاملا سفید هست و ما باید سعی کنیم این فاصله gray رو، خاکستری رو کمترش کنیم.
So to reduce the problems, to say, well, this is wrong and this is black, this is white, but how can we find out we are moving in this area and not in this broad area?
Yes. برای اینکه بگیم این سیاهه یا این سفیده کافی نیست، باید پیدا کنیم بیاییم این قسمت رو بیشتر تعریفش کنیم.
And a second point.
بعد به هر حال یعنی این که بحث ضرر و اینها که مطرحه، اما به هر حال میگه یک شخص ثالثی هم دخیل هست، حالا یک کمیته هست یا چیزی.
نه
اینجا بله، اینجا بحث کمیته بین المللی رو مطرح میکنه و میگن که خود این اعتبار این کمیته هم زیر سوال میره.
اعتبار کمیته هم زیر سوال وقته بره زیاد حقی هم شده از دیگران.
Okay, well, there is a question regarding the bribery in case of International Olympic Committee saying that there is another party who has suffered a loss, and for example the other cities.
Yes.
Okay, which had the right to have this.
Right.
هدیه یا انعام ما به کسی ضرر هیچ نمیرسون. فقط یه نفت بگه بنده خدا میرسون. یعنی به شخصی که معمولا هم ضعیف هست. افرادی که توی انعام ضعیف، افراد معمولی هم که سطح درآمدی بالایی ندارن، توی هدیه هم که اصلا رابطه دوستانه عاطفی خاص خودش هست.
Yes, but in...
یعنی هر دمیده که نکات دیگری هم میشه اضافه کرد برای...
Okay, we can add other things to clarify the meaning as well in semantics.
Yes, but
see, I'm sorry. In gift, there is, it's a kind of friendly relationship, and in gift and bribe, there is no harm to the other parties. And even another point we can take into account is that in when you pay the bribe or the tip, the receiving party is usually belongs to a kind of a group of people or a class of society which do not have a kind of high income.
Well, not well. The last point, you know, one can distinguish between pity, corruption, or bribery, or corruption, and grand corruption.
باید توی این مسئله بین فساد زیاد و فساد کم تمیز باید.
Small and big corruption.
It is small.
And I think, I mean, grand corruption is much more serious, of course. So the OECD is focusing on grand corruption, not on small corruption.
اون کشوری که کنوانسیونش اومده گفت بحثش راجع به فسادهای بزرگه، نه روی فسادهای کوچیک.
So there are millions of dollars, millions and millions. It's not about $10 or $50.
تو این مثلا میلیون ها دلار مطرحه، نه ده دلار.
But it is a, it, I think petty corruption is also questionable. It's not, you know, because there is a kind of culture. It is at each level, people can be corrupt. So if you take the case of China, you know, probably today the biggest problem in China in business is corruption.
ولی اگر به نظر حتی فساد کم هم جای سوال داره و سطوح مختلفی داره و بستگی به فرهنگ داره. مثلا اگر شما مسئله چین رو در نظر بگید، مشکل اساسی عمده اونها فساد هست.
And so the Chinese government is very getting very strict. So the last fall discovered, investigated the whole group of corrupt people in Xiamen, in southern China, and so they already executed a number of people, corrupt high-level officials. They sentenced them to death.
و دولت چین در این ارتباط بسیار داره سختگیری میکنه که در پاییز گذشته در جنوب چین تعدادی از اون مقامات عالی رتبهشون اعدام شدند.
So it goes, it starts at a very small level and goes up and up and up, you know. And
normally, پایین‌تر شروع میشه و میره بالا و بالا.
And the very top are not investigated.
و میگه اون بالایی یا دانه درشت ها میگه مورد بررسی قرار نمیگن، یعنی ازشون
That's too close to the government.
قرار نمیگن.
So, but you are right that but the principle of harm, you know, who is harmed is it's not sufficient, because in the case of the Olympic Games there is only one city who can win and all other cities lose. So that other cities did not get the offer in a way is part of this is the rule of the game.
But there was the chance of getting the offer.
Well, what was violated was they did not get a fair chance.
بله، اون چی که مهم اینه که تو اینجا به هر حال در این مورد یک کشور میتونست انتخاب بشه یا یک شهر میتونست. اون چی که مهم اینه که اون احتمال و اون شانس احتمال هستش که گرفته شده از افراد، این نقص شده.
So it was an issue of fairness that they did not get, they were not treated as equally by
مسئله اینه که اینها به صورت یکسان باشون مساوی برخورد نشد.
Yeah, so that was against, so to speak, the rule of the game and this
و این برخلاف قانون اون بازی های المپیک و این هاست و کمیته اون چیزی که در
خود من دونسته به یه نفر
دو جام دو
تصاویه حقوق برخوردار نیست.
بله اینا
احتمال مساوی برخوردار.
بله اینا نه نمیگه که سه طرف حتما متضرر میشن، یا مثلا سه طرف نقش دارند، سه گروه توی این مجموعه هست، یکی دهنده هستش، یکی گیرنده و یکی هم اون کمیته بین المللی المپیکه. به هر حال حالا یا ضرر میبره، برای اینجا که شاید اونی که داره رشوه میده متضرر که نمیشه، خودش داره نفع میبره. اینم درسته المپیک، ببین ولی اینجا یک شخصیت فرد حقیقی داره این فرد، بحث اون چیز شخصیت حقوقی اون کمیته هم زیر سوال میره دیگه.
اوکی، سو let me one final remark about I want to mention one organization. It's called this is an NGO, International Transparency International.
Transparency International.
International. This is headquartered in Berlin, in Germany, and they are fighting against corruption. And they started 10 years ago and are now worldwide very effective. The website is, for instance, very interesting. Now, what they do, they developed a corruption perception index of countries. So they ask, there are about 15 different studies around the world, and so they use those studies and set up a corruption perception index of countries. So they have number one, I think, is maybe least corrupt, maybe Norway or so, and then going down to 160 or whatever country who is most corrupt. And there are some like Nigeria or Indonesia and other countries.
Okay, would you please start? Okay.
Yeah.
یک سازمان غیر دولتی ترانسپرنسی اینترنشنال که مقرش هم در برلین آلمانه حدود 10 سال پیش ایجاد شده که برای مقابله با فساد. اینا اومدن یک شاخص تعیین میزان فساد رو در طی 15 تا مطالعه‌ای که انجام دادن به وجود یک شاخص تعیین و بر اساس این مشخص کردن کم کشوری که توش کمترین فساد وجود داره و کشوری که درش بیشترین فساد وجود داره به ترتیب.
So this has today quite a lot of impact for investors. If you know the problem of the Asian financial crisis, a lot of money went out of Indonesia because it was known to be a corrupt country.
این امروز تأثیر بسیار زیادی رو روی سرمایه گذارا داره که وقتی این رو متوجهن خیلی مثلا پولشون از وقتی اون مشکلی که در جنوب شرقی آسیا در اندونزی خیلی پولاشون رو سرمایه گذاره کشیدن بیرون.
So in other words, it matters how other countries see my own country in terms of corruption has an impact on investor behavior.
بنابراین خیلی مهمه که دیگران چجوری کشور من رو به کشور من در ارتباط با مسئله میزان فساد نگاه میکنن یا مینگرن.
They also have now a bribe payer index, that means countries who pay bribes, and this is different. This is where corruption is extinct.
In general term, yes.
In the countries, so that means Norway is quite a clean country, for instance. But a country, for instance, here we have China and others, countries who pay bribes in order to do business in other countries.
Was this also developed by the same?
Yes.
بنابراین یه شاخص دیگه ای هم ایجاد کردن که اون تو شاخص مشخص میشه که کدوم کشورها هستن که رشوه درشون زیاد پرداخت میشه و تو این هم سطحش از نظر میزان رشوه تعیین میکنن که چین در رتبه is the first ranking.
Well, this is about 3 years, every year about 3 years, and this is about 7 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this here, the China is the first?
No, I don't remember, okay. But China is one of them.
But
we have also, you know, we have also many countries from the West. So in a way, transparency, this is the term, to be transparent, to tell how we do business, is the opposite of being corrupt.
حالا این بحث شفافیت هستش، چه میزان شفاف باشیم و نقطه مقابلش هم که همون فساد هستش.
دانشگاه مفید، پای در سنت، رو به آینده.